Hi, everybody. This week on the RV Podcast, a reality check about the full-time RV life.
That lifestyle, for us and for a lot of our friends, it's tiring. It's exhausting. It wears you down. And you don't necessarily realize that early on because it's all very exciting early on. But over time, the more you do it, the more you realize that this is really starting to wear on you. And it's simple things that you take for granted. It's things like knowing how to get from point A to point B in any given location. Every time we go out, we don't know where we are. We don't know the traffic patterns. You know, we don't even know where the grocery store is, much less where anything in the grocery store is.
Welcome, fellow travelers. It's time for another episode of the RV Podcast.
Answering your questions, sharing tips, suggesting great trips and off-the-beaten-path adventures, and always staying on top of the RV lifestyle news you need to know about with great interviews and inside industry information.
Here's your hosts, award-winning journalists Mike and Jennifer Wendland.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the RV Podcast, where we tell stories of freedom and fun and adventure through RV travel. And no matter what kind of an RV you have, whether it's a motorhome, a towable trailer, a tent, even if you're just daydreaming about getting an RV someday, this show is for you because here we talk about getting out there, enjoying God's amazing creation, meeting interesting people and boondocking, discovering fun places, using the right gear and technology to enhance the RV lifestyle. So welcome. We are very honored that you chose to put us in your ears this week. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 281 of the RV Podcast, being released on Wednesday, February 12th, 2020. This week, you'll meet Kevin and Laura, a young couple who've been full-time RVers for nearly 5 years now and are known for telling it as it is. We'll have a great discussion and also talk candidly about why so many full-timers come off the road, not lasting nearly as long as they had hoped. Plus, we've got RV news, your questions, and a great off-the-beaten-path report from the Burkitts. But first, my lifelong traveling companion and my bride, Jennifer, who just happens to be celebrating her birthday today. Happy birthday, my dear.
Well, thank you, Mike.
Well, it's another year.
Yeah, glad I'm still here.
Yeah, that's what you begin to say after enough birthdays, don't we? Well, we are having a great time, and it is always fun to join you on Wednesdays.
And we're still celebrating a major event. We reached 100,000 subscribers for our RV Lifestyle channel, and that was very exciting.
Yes, that happened Sunday night during our live broadcast on YouTube on our regular Ask Us Anything program. Actually, we had it right there, and then we came back. We did the hour-long show, and we said, well, we were, I don't know, 30 or 40 short. And we came back like an hour later and we made it. And we actually were right there when we turned and went live. And it was so much fun.
Yeah, super exciting because we've been looking at that number for a long time. It's a nice thing and they give you a plaque.
Yeah. So I don't know if we'll be able to get the plaque because we're going to be on the road.
I wonder where our plaque's going to end up.
I don't know. We're having our mail held and who knows because I don't imagine they're very efficient in getting the plaque out. But it's a big deal, you know, in the YouTube world to get 100,000. And my goodness, we just thank you. If you're one of our subscribers, thank you. If you're not, hey, go sign up. We'll put a link in the show notes for you.
Go for
200,000
or
well, I don't know. We'll keep
What's
going.
What's our goal?
I don't
always got to have a goal.
Actually, I'm moving a goal now over to Instagram.
Aha! Uh-huh.
Because we have been having a really good time on Instagram. Sharing our pictures and going on live as often as we can. And so I think our next goal is to reach 10,000 subscribers on our Instagram page. And you can follow us there at RV Lifestyle Mike. RV Lifestyle Mike. Just follow us there. And Jennifer and I both running around taking pictures and putting little notes up throughout our travels. And that's our next goal, I think. And to keep growing YouTube. And we've got some ideas, and we just have really enjoyed being able to tell those RV travel stories that we do through video and through the interviews, like our interview of the week this week with the folks at Chapter 3 Travels They'll be there. Kevin and Laura, our guests this week, we have a video for them as well as the podcast interview. And it's just fun to use YouTube. But next goal, 10,000 subscribers on Instagram. And follow us there if you haven't already at RV Lifestyle Mike.
And we're home in Michigan after a really exciting week in Arizona. That was such a fun trip.
It was. If you follow the podcast, that's where we came to you from last week. And if you watch us on YouTube, we've got the first of a couple of videos from Arizona that are up on the YouTube channel, RV Lifestyle. And we were camping in Quartzsite. We've never been there in all of our years. Never thought we wanted to. To tell you the truth, we looked at all those crowded pictures that we see from Quartzsite, and we said, that's not for us. But then we had some time on our hands. We had an extra week that opened in our schedule, and we considered a couple other places, but we cashed in frequent flyer miles, flew out there, borrowed an RV, and wow, why hadn't we done that before?
And I'm so glad that we had that experience out in Arizona. Yeah. It was fun, camping in the desert, and just the whole thing was fun.
It wasn't crowded at all. The big crowds had gone home the end of January. So we were there really on February 1st and 2nd. And, there were a lot of people in town, but the desert is so big, the BLM lands around Quartzsite, that there's plenty of wide open space. It's just gorgeous. And then we had a great adventure. We went further south and discovered the Kofa National Wildlife Refuge. And we've got a video that'll coming out Saturday. We'll show you that.
And you don't want to miss that one.
That was fun. We had some mystery and some adventure, and that will be coming up. And then we went from there down to Tucson for it's not quite a trade show, although it sort of was. It was more of a gathering in the desert by a bunch of RV industry folks and some other bloggers and YouTubers and influencers, as they call us. I think I'm starting to resent that term, influencer. That means that it just sort of implies that you're doing this just to influence people, that you can be bought. Does that ever occur to you?
Well, I think ambassadors, you're bought.
Well, yeah, ambassadors, yeah, well, you're kind of sponsored, and I don't know. I'm just feeling more and more loyalty towards the audience rather than sponsors. And I don't know. I mean, we are delighted to have sponsors, particularly on the podcast, but our loyalty, our first loyalty is to you, our listeners and our audience. And I guess I'm gonna have to come up with another name for us. We're just RV Lifestyle Storytellers. Maybe we'll just call ourselves that.
There you go.
Yep. But we're back home in Michigan after that great week in Arizona, and we're about ready to hit the road again. And it's fun. It's fun being back home. It feels kind of like we're on vacation, except we got to finish up our taxes, get that to an accountant, and then what do we do then?
Then we're going to take off for Florida, where we're finalizing research and photography for our next 7-day adventure guides. And one to Florida's East Coast, another devoted to just the Keys. And those two will join our already published Florida 7-day adventure guides to Florida's Gulf Coast. Yeah. No, just Florida is just such a popular RV destination that we feel we need three guides to cover it all. And we're going to hit the road next week to finish up the next two books, which should come out about next month, don't you think?
So that'll give us, I think we're kind of looking at it end of February, 1st of March. So there's so many places so many snowbirds. It's, I think, the number one destination for snowbirds. After that is Arizona, probably. But particularly Florida, where we will be hanging out at the East Coast, the Gulf Coast, the Keys, and we're going to do books on all three of those, like Jen said. Already the Gulf Coast one is out there, but you can pick up the other two. They'll be out very shortly. So I can't wait to that. We've got lots of places we want to do. We were going to do just the Gulf, the Atlantic Coast and the Keys, but there's so much to see in those areas that we decided to do one just on the Keys as well. So,
and we really like doing these 7-day adventure guides as ebooks because they can be published so much faster than a traditional book, and they can easily be updated without long printing delays. And we've got 6 of them out there right now, covering various regions of the country, and you can find them at rvlifestyle.com/books.
This part of the podcast brought to you by Dish Outdoors. And what a great service that is for RVers. And it's made really with RVers particularly in mind, because with Dish Outdoors, you pay as you go. And you can get HD satellite television in your RV, wherever you're camped, easy to set up gear. You do not have to have a long-term contract. You do not have to have a home contract, for example. You have one just with Dish Outdoors for your RV, and pay it month by month or seasonally or however you want to do it. They have some great deals on bundled equipment just for our listeners to the podcast. We have the HD satellite receiver they call the Wally, very small, compact, and it works seamlessly with their new Dish Playmaker portable satellite antenna. Normally, those two are sold in a bundle for $348, but if you use the coupon code RVLifestyle when you check out, you can get the whole thing for $298 instead of $348. So use that coupon code. You can find out all about it by just going to our website special link, which is rvlifestyle.com/dish.
News. Mike's got news. RV news, travel news, inside information and trends that shape the RV lifestyle. Here's the RV news of the week.
This is a story that I think a lot of you out there want to listen up and pay attention to, because I think this national park is on a lot of different people's bucket list. So Alaska's Katmai National Park is taking comments on a proposed rule to require permits for those seeking to wander about the Brooks River corridor, a popular place for watching the famous brown bears. The permits are in response to a growing concern about the number of visitors getting too close to the bears. The park is worried the bears will lose their fear of people and wants to avoid having to put a bear down. The park is also considering expanding its camping to up to 14 days and permitting e-bikes.
We have a really interesting interview we did on the podcast sometime back with a ranger out there at Katmai National Park, and we'll put a link to that in the show notes at rvlifestyle.com/281. Scroll down the news of the week section there and you can find it. Oregon State Parks set a record in the number of campers last year. The state has experienced absolutely incredible growth in camping for about a decade now. Right when after the recession and the RV boom started, that's when everybody noticed it, but particularly Oregon. And last year reported just shy of 3 million camper nights at its 56 state campgrounds, setting a new record for the park system there. So the trend of more campers showing up also, they said, on federally managed lands in Oregon. And they're celebrating that, but with that comes a lot of demands for infrastructure. And that's a story I think you'll see being played out across the nation as state parks and federal campgrounds and national parks try and meet the big demand in camping that is coming with so many people getting into the RV lifestyle.
If you are planning to camp at any of Pennsylvania's state parks this year and you smoke or vape, better listen up. The state has a new law that prohibits smoking within 30 feet of a playground, and that includes 135 locations in the state's 121 parks. Signs are going to go up detailing the new rule by Memorial Day.
Good for them. I agree 100% on that one. Interesting story in North Carolina. 8 people, 3 dogs had to be rescued from their campground at the Dan River Campground in North Carolina. Rushing water swept through the site and some flooding that happened when heavy rain swept through the area over the weekend. And it's a good reminder. We'll put a link in the show notes to that story, but it's a good reminder that when you are camping, no matter where you are, be aware of the weather and be aware of where you should go if you need to find shelter outside of your RV.
And if you want more information on these RV news stories or any of the other topics we talk about on this week's podcast, check out the show notes page we have on our RV Lifestyle blog. Just go to rvlifestyle.com/281. Again, that's rvlifestyle.com/281.
You know, I wonder how many people, because we have all these different platforms we do. We have the YouTube channel, we have the podcast, and I wonder how many of you also know about our blog. That's what really started us all off on this adventure of telling these stories of fun and adventure through RV travel. Our blog is rvlifestyle.com. We have new stories up every day. We have a new RV lifestyle story up, new content every single day of the week. So if you have not been over to the blog, check it out. Lots of really great resources. There's a little search button up at the top. You can search for a topic and find stories going back now for over 8 years. That's when we started this, 8 years ago. Hey, News of the Week section is sponsored by Rad Power Bikes. Rad Power Bikes are America's number one e-bike brand. You see them. If you go out to any campground now, any place where RVers gather, there's somebody there, chances for sure, that have a Rad Power bike. And Rad Power Bike, for besides the number one quality, they offer direct-to-consumer pricing, which means that you can get your bike for about half the cost of comparable bikes on the market because Rad Power Bikes deals directly with you. There's no middlemen and no retail chain that they got to maintain. If you mention RV Lifestyle at checkout, you get an additional $75 off. Plus, of course, you get free shipping. Number of different models all go between 20 and 40 miles on a single charge. All of them can go as much as 20 miles an hour with zero pedaling, or you can use pedal assist as well. You got to check it out yourself. Use that coupon code RV Lifestyle and get an additional $75 off. And just check them out at radpowerbikes.com. That's their website, radpowerbikes.com.
Questions? You've got them. Mike and his network of RV reporters have the answers. Here's one of our questions of the week.
Okay, couple of different sources for these questions this week because I know you. Like I say, we have so many different platforms, so I thought we'd kind of jump around from that. This one from our RV Lifestyle Facebook group, and it comes from a listener named Kathy, and she says, I'm new to RVing. Question, if we encounter snow-covered roads in a freak snowstorm, will a 26-foot Class C handle it okay? Well, we're in a 25-foot Class C, and we have encountered that numerous times, Kathy, and yes, it does handle it, you know, but there's always some general cautions involved.
Like if you can't see, don't drive, pull over if there's a blizzard.
That makes sense.
If you can't see.
What could go wrong if you didn't follow that advice?
Yeah. Well, you know, otherwise you can drive.
Yeah. That's a question, as I said, it came up from our Facebook group, and that's what I love about our Facebook group, because as I check that now, there were something like 27 different comments to Kathy's question. And let me just give you a couple of the answers that other RVers shared on our RV Lifestyle Facebook group. Gary Kramer says, just go slow. The weight of the RV will help if you feel it getting unstable. Just wait it out until they start laying salt. Good advice. That's always what we say. If you can't see, don't go. If it starts to snow and you're not sure, slow down. Slow down a little bit. Kevin Horn says, Class C should handle snow just fine unless it's very deep snow, but watch the wind. If windy, I'd wait a while. Wind affects visibility, snow cover, traction, and stability. Driving in windy, snowy conditions is not fun. We have driven in a blizzard. It was in a Class C, actually, about a year ago right now, coming through North Dakota, and we pulled off one of the interstates there, and it was a full-fledged plains blizzard. And a couple hours after they had shut the freeway down, that's what we got off, shut down the interstate. And a couple hours later, there was 8-foot snowdrifts. But the wind is a big thing. Let's see. Rick Ornberg Sr. says, driving slow is always best. It's good to know your route. Avoid sudden turns, stops, or accelerations, since the inertia of motion is magnified beyond what grip your tires may have on the driving surface. Quick moves cause skidding, sliding, or fishtailing. And let's see, one more. Here's Bob Prowl, who says, you have two things to consider off the top. The weight can keep you stable. That's true. We have found that very true in all of our RVs. The weight when the vehicle breaks loose on the road surface may be a large problem compared to smaller vehicles. Watch your speed and adapt it to current road conditions. If you err, do it by going slower. Make sure your tires are in good shape before attempting it. And when you're braking, just remember it takes longer distance and don't slam on the brakes. Just go easy on the pedal. So those are some of the answers. And if you're not a part of our Facebook group, just go over there and you can just go to rvlifestyle.com/community and you should be able to find it. I'm sorry, rvlifestyle.com/Facebook. rvlifestyle.com/Facebook and you can join our Facebook, our lifestyle group on RV Lifestyle group on Facebook. And you can see how many of our folks are out there. Almost up to, we're over 29,000 people on just that group alone. So it's pretty good. All right, here's another question. And this one comes to us from our RV Lifestyle YouTube channel. And it comes from a viewer named Richard who says, you have, speaking of John and me and our Unity RV, Unity Leisure Travel Van Unity, says, you have a three-way fridge. Wouldn't you prefer a 12-volt compressor fridge? That would give more capacity and eliminate the need to start the night before. It also means less need to level rig, fewer propane refills, and less fire risk. Modern batteries and solar systems should handle the load. The Norcold ones also have a night setting that decreases nocturnal power draw, assuming you're not opening the fridge at night. I'm frankly puzzled by some manufacturers that are clinging to propane fridges, even in high-end coaches. And that's, I think, what we have is a pretty high-end coach. And frankly, we have had absolutely no problems with our fridge, which is a three-way Dometic refrigerator. Propane, it works with propane, yes. It works when we're plugged into shore power or the generator's running, that's 120 volts. And it works on 12 volts. So here's the thing. And you don't have to have it perfectly level anymore. Some of the earlier ones on old RVs, yeah, you had to be almost completely level. Ours, we've never had a problem. Besides that, we have automatic levelers. So when we stop, we always level it. But here's the thing about the 12-volt compressor fridge. You have one source, that's it, of power for it. And if you have something go wrong with your batteries, if they run out of juice, if you're in solar and there's no sun, if it's the wrong time of year and you're north and the sun is weak, your batteries aren't going to last, you lose that, you're gone. In our case, you know, we're plugged into a campground, it's automatically on 120 volts. If we unplug, it automatically goes to the propane system. And if we should run out of propane, it would switch over to the 12-volt system. So we don't lose the cooling. I couldn't be more happy, frankly, and it's a large, over 6 cubic foot refrigerator that we have, and so we see no need at all to change the refrigerator. I really like three-way and just three different ways of making sure it always works. Hey, do you have a question?
Hey, fellow travelers. Want to have your voice featured on the RV podcast?
Send us your questions or comments. Send an audio file to mike@rvlifestyle.com. Or better yet, use our RV podcast voicemail number, 586-372-6990. 586-372-6990.
We want to hear from you. Call 586-372-6990.
This part of the podcast brought to you by Battleborn Batteries, makers of quality, safe, reliable lithium batteries that can be installed in just about every RV. We had some fun times with Dennis and Sean from Battleborn Batteries last week at that industry event we covered in Tucson. Both of them were out there, and Battleborn Batteries, I mean, they are taking the RV industry by storm. We saw some amazing units, some of them with as many as 10 different Battleborn batteries. You could power a small city with all of that. We have two of them in our RV and could not be more pleased. Battleborn has become the standard, really, for those looking for quality, better performing lithium batteries. That's what lithium does. So much better performance. They charge faster. They charge fuller. They're longer lasting. They're maintenance free. And the team at Battleborn, no matter what kind of an RV you have, Class A, Class C, B van, travel trailer, cab over, camper, toy hauler, whatever it is, don't worry. They are experts in all kinds of RVs, how to hook up those Battleborns. They can match your lithium power system with the right cabling, inverters, chargers, solar controllers as well. We have been delighted with the Battleborn system that we put into our RV last summer. We rely on it for our boondocking adventures, and we want to send you to more information about it. Just learn about it. If you don't have lithium, if you've always wondered about it, go to the Battleborn site, and you can get directly to it by going to rvlifestyle.com/lithium. That's rvlifestyle.com/lithium.
Time now for the RV Podcast interview of the week. Interesting, entertaining, and helpful information about the RV lifestyle. Here's Mike with this week's interview.
Jennifer and I follow a lot of YouTube channels, a lot of blogs, and this week I am really excited to bring you the couple behind one of our absolute favorite RV blogs. The blog is called Chapter 3 Travels, and this young couple, Kevin and Laura, have written and chronicled their adventures on the road in just a marvelous way. One of the things, though, that they have talked about recently has to do with the sudden influx of Instagram photos, these glamorous photos that depict the RV lifestyle in romantic and adventurous ways. Oh, there is a lot of fun to the lifestyle. Obviously, we're all enjoying it. Don't trust all those Instagram photos, especially when you see scantily clad people up on the roof of their RV doing yoga poses. Doesn't happen. Never have we seen that in 9 years of travel. But there's other things to talk about too. For example, what happens to most full-time RVers? Full-time RVing has a relatively shorter lifespan than you'd think. Many of the people who set off on the road don't stay on the road for nearly as long as they perhaps hoped when they started. So in our interview, we're going to touch on all of this stuff and also ask the question about when is it time to perhaps come off the road or to change your RV lifestyle travels so that you have a home base instead of being full-time. If you've ever thought of being a full-time RVer, I think you're going to find this interview very interesting, and you're really going to enjoy meeting Kevin and Laura from Chapter 3 Travels. Well, Kevin and Laura join us right now from their RV, and you guys are down in Florida someplace, are you not?
We are. We are up near Pensacola at the moment.
Oh, my gosh. We'll be down there actually in about a week, so we're looking forward to it. How's the weather?
It's been great last couple of days. It's getting a little rainy, but nothing too terrible.
We do love the Emerald Coast. I'll tell you, that's favorite. Well, let's start by introducing you guys to our audience a little bit, and maybe you could explain what Chapter 3 means and how you came about with Chapter 3 Travels.
The name kind of came from me looking back on my life and realizing that it had kind of evolved into chapters. So the first chapter was growing up and then going to college in Washington, D.C. And sort of that chapter of my life bled into chapter two, which was going to law school. And on the very first day of law school, I met Kevin. He sat next to me in class, and we've been together ever since. So we went to law school together. We had our legal careers together and did that whole chunk of time together, and then we decided to take a career break and travel for some period of time, which is what we're doing now. So this became sort of chapter three, and we'll figure out what chapter four is down the line.
And talk about how you travel, how long you've been on the road, and what do you see as the benefits of this I don't want to say nomadic lifestyle. That always applies to me like there's no roots, and your roots, your home is, like they say, where they park it. But talk about your lifestyle and help us understand you guys a little more.
Go for it.
So we've been on the road for what, about 3.5 years now? So since about the end of 2016, started doing this really just to see the country. We wanted to go to places that we hadn't been because we were both kind of from the East Coast for the most part, and wanted to get out to the West Coast and see some of the national parks and things out there. So we pretty much try and spend about 10 days to 2 weeks at any given place and kind of sort of keep moving, so to speak. Anything else?
A big part of our decision making was we had a dog, and we wanted to be able to bring the dog with us traveling. And we wanted to travel in as economical a fashion as possible. So RVing, at some point I read something about RVing and I started looking into it, and it seemed like a great way to travel economically, be able to take the dog with us and go and see the national parks, see cities we had never seen, that sort of thing.
So neither of you were RVers before this? This really is, this was your first time RVing?
never been in an RV, never drove an RV, nothing until we decided to do this. We did camp, you know, tent camping and, you know, get out and hike and do those types of things, but had never been in an RV.
Well, one of the
all the eggs in one basket and hope for the best, and it worked out pretty well.
Well, as you know, many other people are dreaming about doing this, and one of the things, as I said in the introduction, that I have just so enjoyed about reading Chapter 3 Travels in your blog is the brutal honesty at times that you give to the lifestyle, but always in an optimistic way, a fun way. And I want to start by kind of a reality check to all of those who got the RV bug through Instagram photos. Let's talk about those for a second.
There are some accounts. There are only a handful of them, really, but they are all over the place. And if you look under certain hashtags, you'll see lots of pictures by these accounts. And they kind of glorify and dramatize the RV lifestyle. And they tend to show these dreamy sunsets and these picture-perfect locations. And they leave out a lot of the reality. So I wrote a post basically having some fun with what their version of reality versus what the real version of reality is, basically.
Well, it's basically just marketing at this point. So
yeah, and that's really what those posts are, is marketing posts. But let's we did have some fun about it because I read yours. We had been saying for years, I don't know anybody who stands on top of their RV and does yoga poses, except when we had... We were out in the desert last week. I knew I'd be interviewing you. And so I actually climbed up there and shot a panoramic shot with a camera. But then Jennifer saw me and she says, I know what we got to do. So she went up and did the, and people thought like it was perfectly normal. Honestly, we've never done that. That's not the best place in the world to do a yoga pose.
It's not a good
and
idea.
It's particularly like the ones we see on Instagram. The people are doing these yoga poses and they don't have much clothes on. have you ever seen this anywhere?
No, shockingly, in all the time we've been on the road, not a single time have we looked outside and seen somebody standing on the roof doing tree pose.
I think someone would call the police, you know, the person. And then you mentioned, we talked about them being marketing, but they really are. People, I think, look at them, they get excited about the, you know, the dream of RV lifestyle. But they're all in these, you know, well-lit shots in these perfectly pristine RVs. Yeah. You know, white seems to be the big color. I don't know. White's not a really good color for an RV, is it, inside?
It is not.
No, because it shows everything, all the dirt. You're living in the dirt, basically. And you're bringing it in with you. Your dog's bringing it in with you, you know. And it's not the the easiest color to keep clean.
Well, RV manufacturers love beige. They love beige so much, and everything is beige and brown.
But they're smart. It hides the dirt.
I think you phrased it beige, and a couple of shades of brown.
Exactly.
We'll link in the description below here to that post, because it really is a great post, and it's hard to do justice to the silliness sometimes of the marketing. But on a larger scale, we talked about so many people wanting to RV, to get out there, sell everything, and go see the country. And that is fun. It's for some people. But the reality of it is there is a cost to all this. And I thought maybe you could talk about that and also address the issue of when it's time to start planning to come off the road. You guys obviously have given some thought to that because you wrote so eloquently about it.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a lot of caveats that need to be built into this discussion. You know, we've been consistently moving for 3.5 years. The longest we've ever sat in one place was 2 months. So there are a lot of people out there who RV in a completely different way. They sit somewhere for 3 months, 6 months at a time. They might have a home base. So I'm not talking about those folks because that's very different. What I'm talking about are folks like us who every week, every 2 weeks, they're going somewhere new. And that lifestyle for us and for a lot of our friends, it's tiring, it's exhausting, it wears you down. And you don't necessarily realize that early on because it's all very exciting early on. But over time, the more you do it, the more you realize that this is really starting to wear on you. And it's simple things that you take for granted. It's things like knowing how to get from point A to point B in any given location. Every time we go out, we don't know where we are. We don't know the traffic patterns. You know, we don't even know where the grocery store is, much less where anything in the grocery store is. You know, if we have a problem, you know, our dog had gotten sick a lot last year. You know, every time he gets sick, we got to find a vet. It's not just going to the vet and trying to figure out what's wrong and pay for whatever needs to be paid for. It's you got to find a vet who you can trust. And then you got to go in and you got to explain his whole background and all of his veterinary records and his vaccines. And everything just takes longer. Everything's more of a process. And you're just kind of constantly stabbing around in the dark, hoping for the best. And that wears you down.
Yeah. So you have all of your normal life stuff. Just all of your normal life stuff takes longer because it's less efficient. When you live in a single given place, you have your vet who knows all the records about your dog. You know where your grocery store is and where the items are when you just need to pick up peanut butter or something fairly mundane. So, you know, it feels at times inefficient and difficult to get just normal everyday life stuff.
It's been described by some as kind of decision overload because you have to make a decision. And I think you described that really well.
Well, that's definitely true too when it comes to, so Laura does the planning and campground reservations, and given the sort of number of people that are out there wanting to do this and are doing it now, it's getting more difficult to actually get into campground. So, you know, as she's planning, she has to sit there and try to figure out what route we're going to go, what do we want to see, where to stay, right? You read reviews about campgrounds and try and figure out. So you've got that. Sometimes having too many choices makes making a decision slightly more difficult.
So when you guys started, you obviously have met a lot of other people who are out there as full-time RVers. How many stay on the road? Have you identified kind of a lifespan of full-time RVing?
So that's an interesting point. We've met a ton of people on the road. We've met really great friends. And then there are a lot of people that I've connected with through social media. And at some point you realize they kind of disappear. Whatever happened to those people? So I don't know what happened. But I know for the people that we have really established relationships with, I would say a good half have at least dropped down to part-time. They may have bought land. They may have set up a home base somewhere, or they may have come off the road completely. As I said, we've been on the road for 3.5 years. The people, about half have disappeared who started around when we did. You meet those outliers. You meet folks who've been on the road for 8 or 10 or 15 years, but it's rare.
And again, to kind of be clear, we're talking about a consistent moving schedule, you know, 10 days to 2 weeks at a given place. You know, we've met a lot of people who, you know, still say, hey, we still full time, but they sit somewhere over the winter for 4 months and then travel a little bit during the summer or, you know, during the spring and then sit somewhere in the summer for, you know, a couple of months. And I do think that's different. Having the stability in a given place over, you know, 3 months or whatever to do all that life stuff, you know.
I have to kind of laugh because we are beginning right now our ninth year of this. We're three-quarter timers. That's what we kind of, sometimes a little bit more. This past year has been a little more. But, you know, the longest Jennifer and I have ever stayed in any one place has been about 5 days. I am tired. Your blog post so resonated with us because it isn't the big things about RV travel, you know, like living in a small space together, having breakdowns or things break. Somebody described an RV to us as, you know, it's a home going down the road with a constant 6.2 earthquake it's experiencing, right. You know, so things break. But it wasn't that at all. It was just the things that you just identified. It's like, where are we? And how do we feel comfortable in an area that we've never visited before? And I'd wonder if you have some advice, one, for full-timers about when it's time maybe to think about coming off the road. And then I'll turn it around and advice for those who are thinking about selling everything and jumping off into full-time travel.
You know, I don't know that there's any one set of factors that are going to happen for you. For us, we just started to realize that it was becoming overly stressful. You know, things were just not as fun as they had been, and we were spending more time being stressed out and irritable than we should be. I mean, we're living this great dream lifestyle, doing what so many people, you know, want to do, and yet it was starting to feel overwhelming. It was starting to feel like too much. So, you know, we're actually going to do a little experiment just in about a month. We're going to rent an Airbnb, a furnished apartment, for 2 months, just to take a break from the road, just to live in a normal house with normal insulation and not have to consistently move, and take the break and sort of see how we feel about it. So, you know, that's a possibility. You don't have to go all in or go all out at the same time. You know, maybe give it a try sitting in one place, you know, before making that decision. But, you know, I think when it starts to feel like more of a chore than something that's enjoyable, maybe it's time to make a change.
Yeah, when you're not having fun anymore, right? Yeah. I mean, it's not that we're not having fun. It's just, you know, you have to weigh, you know, when does it feel more like a chore than it is having fun, you know, one versus the other.
Now, you guys left pretty high stress jobs as attorneys, and I want to talk about the good side of it. How did the RV lifestyle, did it decompress you, or did you find you brought that same drive and constant stimulation that comes from, you know, a busy law profession? How did the RV lifestyle affect you guys when you started it?
Go ahead, I'll jump in.
You know, I think it's a very different lifestyle. I mean, certainly, you know, it's a different type of stress. It's, you know, a much more enjoyable stress. You know, we get to go where we want to go and see amazing things, and that's awesome. But there is still work to be done to make it happen, and stress along the way. So, you know, we have never been bored. I will tell you that. We've never been bored, and we have never been lonely. We have hobbies that we've taken up that keep us busy. And we're always meeting people on the road. And so we've never felt like, you know, what are we doing here? We've got nothing to keep us occupied. We're always busy.
Yeah, it's allowed us to decompress in one sense. But you know, I guess the base advice I'd have to anybody thinking about RVing is that you're still going to be who you are when you go do it, right? Like, if you're a very driven person to occupy your time with various things, that's who you're going to be. If you're a planner, if you stress out about things, like, you're still going to carry that stuff with you. I mean, we have an additional maybe a bit of stress because we like to know where we're going to go. We're just built in a way that we like to kind of have things planned out and have reservations. You know, somebody else who's more freewheeling might not have that stress and may not care. You're going to be who you are no matter where you are.
Now, you are down in Florida. Just how long have you been there, and then when do you move from Florida, and when do you go into that Airbnb?
So we got to Florida just before Thanksgiving. Kevin's parents are in St. Augustine, so we went over there, spent about a month, all of Thanksgiving and Christmas with them, and then we did a loop through the state parks along the peninsula. Which, you know, the state parks in Florida are fantastic, but again, you need to start planning that a good year in advance. And then we came up onto the panhandle. So we're here for another week or so. And then we're heading over to New Orleans for Mardi Gras, which we're excited about. We'll see how that goes. And then we're heading over to Austin. And that's where we're going to be set up for 2 months.
Well, that's great. We will actually be down your way towards the end of next week, and we'll also be in Austin in about springtime. So, nice. We would love to meet you guys on the road somewhere and connect in person. Meantime, we will direct everyone to your blog, your excellent blog. You don't have a YouTube channel.
We don't. This is actually the first time we've ever done video. So I hope
really?
It's a downfall of your channel.
You guys look great, and you know, it's another factor of work. That's been our problem. We started off and just want to tell everybody and tell these great stories, and so we've done podcasts and videos and books and emails, and now we have a newsletter and marketing people and social media, and it's like, wait, we are still having fun. Thank you guys for making some time. You are a delightful couple. You have a wonderful reading style on the blog, and I know you will. I don't think you'll ever give up RVing, but I think
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, definitely not.
Because it's there's, if you're like us, you still have a continually growing list of bucket list places you want to visit. So
yeah, even doing this for the 3.5 years, we haven't even come close to touching a fraction of the places we want to go.
Yeah. So advice, just to sum it all up to people, is maybe get your feet wet gently. Don't jump in all at once until you're sure it's going to work. And then don't be afraid to modify your plan after a year or so, or whenever, you know, if you start to say it.
And don't be afraid to acknowledge that, you know, maybe things are feeling a little bit more stressful than what you want them to be. Like, just because you're doing this doesn't change the fact that you've still got to deal with life, right? So just be conscientious about how you're feeling about the situation.
And realize that, you know, Instagram and things like YouTube are, you know, that's a highlight reel. That's, you know, a lot of work goes into making that stuff look the way it looks. And, you know, reality is still reality. You know, it's not all sunsets and cocktails.
I love the way you kept raising, where was the photographer to take these pictures? You know, how many takes did it take to get that light just perfect and that little look in their eyes? And did you notice on some of those Instagram, how close people sit and really how uncomfortable that would be?
In reality.
We'll send people to all of your posts, all of your blogs, and
thank you.
Just so much, Kevin and Laura. How much we appreciate you and your blog. Thank you again for being our guests on the podcast. Description and all the information, how to reach them will be in the notes right below this. Thank you guys so much.
Thanks for having us.
That was a lot of fun.
It was a fun interview.
And I really love their blog. Again, their blog is Chapter 3 Travels. We'll put links on the show notes. Just go to rvlifestyle.com/281 and you'll find it there. But we sure had fun. And you know, Jen, when you did your yoga pose on top of that RV we had in Arizona last week, people thought you were being like serious, like you actually went up there and did that normally.
No.
You might explain why you did it that way.
I ask you.
You were trying to teach me a lesson.
Ask you not to climb on top of the roof.
Now, you got to understand, folks, she doesn't want me up on the roof because she thinks I'm going to fall off the roof.
Right.
Now, I'm asking all the guys in the audience, what would you do if your wife says, well, you might fall off that? You would go up, right? You got to show her that you can do that. So I did that.
So you were up on the roof, and I decided, okay, I am going up on the roof so that you can stand down here and be concerned about me. So I got up on the roof, and then I thought, well, I can't do the exact same pose you did. And we were laughing about the fact that all these young people go up on the roof and do various yoga poses. So I thought, well, I'm just going to stand up here and just do this little pose. I didn't get my body lined up just right because the wind was blowing and I really...
You could have fallen off the roof.
I really didn't want to...
That's the reality of it.
Stay up there that long to get the pose perfect. But I look at you and did I see concern? No. All I saw was the biggest smile that I've ever seen before as you're clicking pictures.
I did.
So then I thought, everybody's going to think I've been consuming adult beverages.
They did. There were people who said that.
Or something, and I hadn't done any of that. This was just like a life lesson I was trying to teach you. Please don't go up on the roof because...
Well, I can't wait till I get you back up on the roof again. Who knows? I made you do it on the mountaintop, too, when we climbed a mountain.
Yeah, then I said next
time... The wind
time,
was blowing so hard. I really thought you'd be blowing off the mountain.
And then you said, oh, we got to do this all the time, you know. And then I said, next time you get to do it.
Folks, if you want to see it, we're talking about the best read is at Laura's blog, and there's a link in the show notes, but she grabs a bunch of these silly Instagram photos, or just look under RV Life, RV Living on Instagram. You'll see what we're talking about. And it's just crazy. And you know, that's not reality, but it's, we do have fun with it. So I'll say that. Well, anyway, links to all their stuff, plus a video interview. So you can actually see them. They are, we interview and we put some video of their website over it. And I love to tell everybody to look at the video. So thanks so much to Kevin and Laura for their times from Chapter 3 Travels. It's a great blog to add to your listing or your online reading habits, Chapter 3 Travels. Hey, this part of the podcast brought to you by Sunshine State RVs. They're in Gainesville, Florida, but if you just go to sunshinestaterVs.com, you can see probably the largest inventory of used small motorhomes anywhere in North America. plus perhaps one of the fullest line of brand new small motor homes, like the Winnebago Travato, the Winnebago Era, Coachman, the Galleria, the Beyond, the American Patriot, the Fleetwood IROC, and more. All new, in stock, and you can do business right over the internet with Nick and his crew. If you want to just make a trip to sunny Florida, you can pick it up and then begin your adventures there, or you can get your deal all consummated, and they will deliver it to your driveway anywhere in the continental U.S. As I said, their used inventory is huge. They specialize in small motorhomes. Now, if you're anywhere in Florida, and you can make it, I think it's the week after next, to the last weekend in February, to the, is it the 23rd? I don't remember what the dates were. The Ocala RV Show coming up. I think it's next weekend, not this weekend. They will be at the Ocala RV Show, and you can see them there, or just check their inventory out. Go to look them all up at sunshinestatervs.com.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path,
a unique RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook.
Here's Mike.
And let's go to our regular Off the Beaten Path weekly correspondents, Tom and Patty Burkett. This time we find them out east.
Hey, Jennifer and Mike. If you've ever crossed a bridge or a causeway of the saltgrass marshes of the mid-Atlantic coast, you'll have seen the network of waterways that crisscross them. At low tide, you can often see masses of oysters, or at least oyster shells, poking up out of them. And high tide, or low, you'll see pelicans skimming the grass tops and bone-white egrets scattered among the green. These marshes play an outsized role in coastal ecology, providing spawning grounds for many marine creatures and a protected area for the young to mature.
One of the ways you can enjoy some time along the marsh is to go crabbing. Forget about the fact that you might well come home with a bucket full of the best eating along the shore. It's both fun and relaxing. You need a little bit of gear, some bait, and a few facts about crab behavior to be successful at this pastime. First, find a good stout stick, about as thick as your thumb and 8 inches long. Wind onto it 30 feet or so of good cotton cord. At the business end, you'll have to tie a triangular fishing weight, one of those ones that look like the Great Pyramid of Giza, cast in lead miniature.
You'll need a net, too, with a long handle. You can use a high-quality fishing net if you have one, but any bait store or tourist shop along the coast will sell you a perfectly adequate cheap one for less than $10. Remember, you're not doing battle with the toothsome shark. You're just impeding the progress of a crab long enough to get him into your bucket. Crabs are scavengers, so any number of things will work pretty well as bait, but the hands-down favorite is chicken necks. They're cheap, and since most people don't use them in cooking, plentiful. Tie the neck onto your line a few inches upstream of the sinker, and you're ready to go.
Some people go crabbing successfully on the beach, others along tidal inlets or even off low bridges. Our favorite spot is at the end of one of the many little access roads that lead to the edge of the tidal marsh, especially on Sullivan's Island in South Carolina. These makeshift driveways are the access used by folks going into the marsh by boat to fish, photograph, collect oysters, or just enjoy a paddle through the green quiet. You usually have any spot you pick to yourself. Bring along a chair, because unless you're working multiple lines, crabbing is a leisurely affair.
Now you need to know a bit about crabs to have the best chance of catching them. Crabs are most active, searching for food, for an hour or two before and after high tide. Consult the tide table for your location and stake out a good spot. Toss your baited line out into the middle of the water and begin to pull it in, an inch or so at a time. I told you it was leisurely. You want to move the crab to the edge of the water, but not pull the line so quickly the crab is scared off. When it comes into view from your position, scoop it up with your net. There are rules for crabbing. No crabs smaller than a hand's width across the shell, and females with eggs must be released back into the water. Other than that, catch and eat your fill.
The sea of spartina grass that make up these coastal marshes is a wonder in many ways. It harbors and supports many birds and animals, and it buffers the shore from the onslaught of storms and hurricanes. It purifies runoff water and provides nutrients for oysters, clams, and mussels. It whispers in the wind. Spend some time in its company, and you won't be disappointed. It's one of the many overlooked natural pleasures out here off the beaten path.
What's happening? Time now to check the RV calendar of events and gatherings you need to know about.
Well, Valentine's weekend 2020 is upon us, and it is a really active time for RV shows across the country. So listen up. I'm going to give you a long list, and you can go back to the show notes and then click on the links for each particular show to get hours, directions, times, and all the details that you need. But here's what's coming. 12th through the 16th of February, the Houston RV Show at the NRG Center in Houston, Texas. February 13th through the 16th, the Austin RV Expo at the Austin Convention Center in Austin, Texas. February 13th to the 16th, the big one, the Chicago RV and Camping Show at the Donald E. Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont, Illinois. February 13th through the 16th, the Oklahoma City RV Super Show at the State Fair Park in Oklahoma City. February 13th through the 16th, the Utah Sportsman's Vacation and RV Show at Mountain America Expo Center in Sandy, Utah. February 14th through the 16th, it's the Alabama RV Super Show at the Von Braun Center in South Hall of Huntsville, Alabama. February 14th through the 16th, the Atlantic City RV and Camping Show, Atlantic City Convention Center, Atlantic City, New Jersey. February 14th through the 16th and the 21st through the 23rd, a two-week show, the Maryland RV Show at the Maryland State Fairgrounds in Timonium, Maryland. February 14th through the 17th, the London RV Show at the Western Fair Agriplex in London, Ontario, Canada. February 14th through the 17th, it's the Northeast RV Show at the Rockland Community College Fieldhouse in Suffern, New York. February 14th through the 17th, the Springfield RV Camping and Outdoor Show, the Eastern State Exposition Fairgrounds in West Springfield, Massachusetts. And February 14th through the 23rd, the Indianapolis Boat, Sport, and Travel Show at the Indiana State Fairgrounds in Indianapolis, Indiana. Lots of RV shows. Check one out. It's always the best way for you to find the RV of your dreams because you can see all the different models. Try them all out. You won't have to go from multiple place to multiple place. Just check them out. An RV show near you. Links on the show notes page for this episode, which you'll find at rvlifestyle.com/281.
And that wraps up another episode of the RV Podcast with Mike and Jennifer Wendland.
New episodes are released every Wednesday, and the best way to stay connected is to subscribe to the RV Podcast.
We're in all the popular podcast apps, and you can also listen on the rvlifestyle.com travel blog.
Till next time, happy trails, fellow travelers. We'll be looking for you down the road.
Well, thank you guys so much for listening. We had a great time on the show. Let us know. Use that voicemail message. Send us your questions. Wasn't that fun?
It was fun.
Get to an RV show. Enjoy yourself. Don't forget the show notes. All the links and resources we shared in this episode will be found right there. And while you're at it, check out our blog, rvlifestyle.com. To get to the show notes, rvlifestyle.com/281. On behalf of our dog, Bo, I'm Mike.
And I'm Jennifer. And happy trails.
Happy trails. Bye, everybody. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jennifer. Happy birthday to you.